Praise the Lord. Can the church say amen? Can the church say amen again? If you love the Lord, give him a praise. Father God, we love you in this place, and we thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for bringing us through another year, and here we are 3 weeks into a new year, and you're still keeping us. Father God, you kept us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Seen and unseen, known and unknown. You've given us a relatively good portion of our health and strength. You've blessed some of us to still be healthy in the flu epidemic. Some have been through it and you brought them out. But Father God, we pray for those families who lost their lives in this season. But we realize that you are the giver of life. You sustain us. You keep us. You hold us. And for that, Lord, we love you. Now, Father God, as I open my mouth, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus. And show yourself strong. Father God, open up our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may know your will for our lives. And not our will, Lord, but your will be done in us and through us. We bless your name in this place. Forgive us of our sins and give us that same power to forgive others who come up against us. For your God alone is worthy of all the praise. So let us be glad in our spirits. Let us come with a spirit of anticipation and expectation that you're going to do more than we can ever think, imagine. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Can the church say amen again?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Here we are, third week of January, third Sunday. Youth Sunday. Give our children, give them some more encouragement. They did a great job today. And give all the parents some encouragement that bring their children. Amen. Amen. And listen, we're looking for great volunteers to come and work in our youth ministry. Amen. We're looking for great volunteers and leaders to come and work in our time of Christian education. If you believe God has given you the gift to teach, especially our children, please come and sign up and let us know that you want to be part of Christian education on Sunday morning at 9:30 so that we can have classes for all of our children during that time. And so here we are, January the 21st. Amen. Still in our series of expectation of greater things in 2018. And this is part 3. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read some portion of scripture this morning that I came across that just kind of blew my mind. I read it 100 times before, but this time it just had a different feel to it because of what I'm expecting God to do. Is that all right?
Amen.
So our scripture reading is going to come from 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. We're going to start with that this morning. I need you to pay close attention to what's happening in this piece of scripture. When the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to what? To test him with hard questions. She's coming to Solomon. She heard about this man, but now she's coming to test him with hard questions. arriving with a very great caravan, that means a whole bunch of folks, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Now, if a woman say, I'm going to tell you what's on my mind, you're going to be there for a minute. I'm just saying. But Solomon Brothers didn't run. He didn't go hide in his man cave. He didn't shut down. But look what he did. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, as well as the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending service in their robes, the cupbearers in their robes, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. Right. Lord Jesus. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about you and about your achievements and your wisdom is true. All right. But I did not believe what they said until I came and saw it with my own eyes. I guess some folks seeing is believing. Hello, hello, hello. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the reports I heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love of your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever, he has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness. Amen. Let me go back to verse number 6. But I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report I heard. I would say she came with some expectation.
Right.
Hello, somebody. And we're going to continue with expectations of greater things in 2018, part 3. 2018 is the year of expectation. Is there anybody expecting anything this year? I only see a few hands going up. Well, let me put this out there for you, right? If you don't expect nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. Can I say that again? I hope that's not too harsh. But if you don't expect nothing, you're not going to get nothing. For the Bible said that God will give us the desires of our hearts. If there's no desire, what is he going to give?
Nothing.
And you probably remember that the first son of Bathsheba, had by David, was struck by the Lord and died very soon after it was born, because the adulterous activity between David and Bathsheba.
Right.
Amen?
Uh-huh.
That was the first son. He died. But after Uriah was dead and gone, that was Bathsheba's husband. After he was dead and gone, and Bathsheba was now available, David married her, and she conceived another child, and that second son was Solomon. Everybody with me? Solomon was the third king over Israel. His reign began when he was approximately 18 years old and lasted for a period of 40 years. Solomon was a good king. Solomon did many great things. He was an organizer. He was a progressive leader. His achievements were great. He was a builder with growth in mind. In fact, he never hesitated to tackle the huge project of building the temple in Jerusalem to the Ark of the Covenant. He put together a crew of 153,600 people and worked with them for 7 years in order to accomplish building the temple that God had called him to build. 7 years with 153,000 folk to build a temple. This man was a man that had vision. He had purpose. And he had a burden to be trusted as a trusted ruler. His desire to be a good ruler was recognized at a dream at Gibeon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, you will find that soon after Solomon was crowned king, he went to Gibeon to make sacrifices unto the Lord. In fact, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon the altar of sacrifice. Right. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 through 12, something happened to Solomon. Check it out. That night after he gave the burnt offerings, it said, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Let that sink in for a minute. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, God, you have shown me great kindness to David my father and have made me king in this place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, did I not say God will give you the desires of your heart? Did I just not say that? Did I just not say that God will? So Solomon had a desire. Then the Bible said, since this is your heart's desire and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor like some folk would, Lord, give me $1 million. Lord, just give me a nice place to stay. Lord, just give me riches and wealth. Just make me wealthy and known among the people. He didn't ask for that, nor for the death of your enemies. Lord, kill all my haters. And since you have not asked for long, Lord, let me live forever. But for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. Period. But there's an and. Conjunction function. What's your function? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Hooking up words and phrases. And is a hookup word. So whatever comes after and is hooked up with what was before. Even though there was a period, it started out with and. And therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. Period. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have.
My God.
God is asking Solomon, in this current position you find yourself, what do you desire most? What do you want? I made you king. Now what else do you want? And in the answer that Solomon gives, you can begin to see his real burden. Because instead of asking for riches, instead of asking for long life, instead of asking for perfect health, the young King Solomon asked for practical wisdom to be able to govern his people wisely. What a request. Not one of personal profit, but one that would enable him to do what he has been anointed to do. How many of us today would be able to give such an answer? If we were alone and nobody else would know what we asked for, and if God of endless supply stepped into your world through a dream and said, what is your desire or what do you desire most? I tell you, church, I wish Christian folks today could get a grasp of what Solomon did and have the same kind of burning desire to do what God has called us to do. are far down on the deep side of us to please God, to do what he has called us in our life to do, with such a flame of revival in our heart that when God stretches out his voice and challenges us with the question, my son, my daughter, what do you desire most? What can I give you? I wonder if we will be able to say, money is nice, Lord, but money is not what I'm interested in. Friends are nice, Lord, but friends are not what I'm interested in. I wonder how many of us desire God so deeply and so desperately that we would say, God, good health is good, but that's not what I'm interested in. But God, the one thing I most desire is that you would give me wisdom to be able to carry out your will for my life. That's what Solomon did. And do you know, God granted the request. His mind power was manipulated by God. His thoughts were precisely managed by God. And God did surgery on the part of Solomon's brain that routed his thoughts through the heart of God before anything came out of his mouth. Can I say that one again? He desired wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And so therefore, before I speak, all my thoughts got to go to God first before I bring it out of my mouth. If we would just pause and say, God, speak to my heart before I open my mouth, some of us wouldn't be in the trouble we're in today. We wouldn't have messed up some relationships that we messed up today. If we just shut our mouth and say, Lord, speak to me first before I speak. Amen. And from that day forward, Solomon had wisdom like never before. But not only wisdom, but God also gave him wealth, riches, and honor, which he didn't ask for. Hello, 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 hello. When you ask rightly before God, he don't get, how many know God always give you more? Can I say that again? God will always give you more. I still got some believers in here that don't believe that. God will always bring you out better than you went in. Amen. He said, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge so that I can judge your people. God said, cool. Guess what? I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. Amen. And there will be nobody like you. There's been none before you. And guess what? There'll be nobody like you after you. You're going to be one of a kind. Soon after God granted his request, Solomon found himself in a prime position to use this wisdom. Y'all heard about the two mothers that came before him. Yeah, they came. They came in a struggle over a single child. Amen. Two mothers had babies at the same time, but one of the mothers rolled over and slept on her baby and killed it. She woke up in the middle of the night, saw her baby was dead, and so she came and stole somebody else's baby. So the other mama was mad, and so they go before the king. Hello, somebody. Both women claimed that the child was theirs, and it was up to King Solomon to decide who this child belonged to. Unfortunately, Maury Povich wasn't around. Unfortunately, he couldn't do no DNA. Unfortunately, he could not say, you are the mother. He couldn't say that. So how was he ever going to be able to judge and say, who is the real mama? Then the ultimate wisdom kicked in. And King Solomon said, bring me a sword. And they brought him a sword. And right there in the presence of these two women, King Solomon said, I know how I can solve this little problem. I want my servant. Servant, come here. I want you to take this sword and cut this baby in two. And each one of them can get a piece. And nobody will have to do without. Now, obviously, these women knew, just as you and I know, that if you cut a baby in half, then the baby is going to die. So in this situation, nobody would be able to have the baby because the baby would be dead. But the king was going ahead with his plan. The servant picked up the sword, wrapped both hands around the handle, and I'm sure the women didn't really know what to do, But as he lifted up that sword back over his head and was getting ready to lower the boom on the baby, one of the women shouted out, "Stop! Don't do it. Don't kill him. Give him to her if you want to, but don't kill him." And with that statement, Solomon simply looked over at the servant and said, "Give the baby to her." The one who spoke up. The one who really cared. She's the one that really loves the baby. She loved the baby so much that if she can't keep it, she still wanted to be alive. That's a real mama. If it comes right down to it, I want my baby to live. Even if the baby can't live with me, I can peek in on him every now and then. I can still make sure he's doing all right. I can bring some groceries and Pampers over because that's really my child. But if he don't live with her, let him live with her. But at least he's alive. It was a witness of power, of God's wisdom, that was working in Solomon's life. His fame spread abroad over the nation and many surrounding nations, and everybody began to hear about how wise and how mighty this king really was. Insomuch that his fame spread to the leaders of other surrounding nations, and the queen of Sheba was one that had heard about this king. She had heard all about what he had done. She had heard all of the wisdom that he had. In fact, this is where we begin in verse 1 in 2 Chronicles. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. With a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious metals. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. See, she had heard about the king. She'd been told about his wisdom. She'd been informed of how he could work out problems, but she had never seen it for herself. And when she heard about this man, she had to get closer to him and see if all of the reports was true. Could it be possible that there is one so powerful? Could it be possible that there was one so helpful? She wanted to find out for herself. How many have heard about something so good you say it's too good to be true? And I'm going to find out for myself if it's true or not. She decided to put together a great company of people and take gifts so great in attention to get his attention. She was going to go and request to see the king and have nothing to give him, but she bought him gifts that was precious. It was worth many money, and so she came, not empty-handed, but she came to show the king she want to be in his presence. Now the king of this might and power ain't going to just talk to any old body. I got to show him that I am some. I'm going to bring him all I got so that he can see that I'm somebody that want to talk to him. She brought gifts that was worthy to be given to a king. She brought spices and in an abundance of gold and precious stones. And her plan was that if she was able to get an audience with the king, then she was going to try him with hard questions and just see how mighty and wise this king really was. I bet she was up all night long. This is some stuff I'm going to ask this man to see if he really this wise. And if he can answer my questions. Not only with simple one word, these won't be where she'll ask a question and he can say yes and no. Hello. But God gave him the ability to even see deeper into the issues she was even asking about and begin to give her answers in detail that she had no idea that he even knew about. He read her mail. He pricked her heart. And he absolutely blew her mind with the wisdom and knowledge that he had in his answers and questions of life. Listen, she said in amazement as he spoke the intricate details of her life. She had heard about this man, but this was more than she could grasp. How could this king have this kind of knowledge? And if that wasn't enough, she then watched as they brought the meat to the table, and she probably wondered where mouths would come from to eat of this meat. But then as the servants and the ministers started pouring in such orderly fashion, she probably wondered where the meat was going to come from to feed all these mouths. There was lines and lines pouring in, and every one of them in perfect order. Everything was put together so perfectly. This king was no slouch. This king was just nobody. He had made sure that everything was in line, decent, and in order. Even all the way down to the waiters, they were robed in beautiful apparel and neatly ordered and organized. They did not wait till your glass got empty. They brought another drink before you can even empty your glass. This was a sight to behold. All of them was dressed in fine linen. They looked well. They spoke well. They was polite. And as the Queen of Sheba watched all these people pay honor to their king, she was awestruck with their actions. They were honoring him with their dress. They were honoring him with the way that they were acting. They were honoring him. They paraded into the feast that the king had made available to them, and they could tell by watching them that they loved their king, they honored their king, and they loved to be in his presence. And then we get to verse 5 and 6. And she said to the king, it was true. It was a true report, which I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not thy words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceeded the fame that I heard. After she had heard and seen what was done, she said, it is true. What I've been hearing is true. I heard about your wonderful acts. I heard about your wonderful wisdom. I didn't believe it, but guess what? It all sounded too good to be true. And until I came myself and put my eyes on you and seen it myself, I would not have believed it. Let me tell you, church, I don't care how many stories you heard. It ain't the same until it happened to you. Hello, somebody. You can hear about people being delivered all day long, but until you've been delivered. Some folks shouting, you don't know why they shouting until you experience why you need to shout. Hello, somebody. Hello, hello. You can hear about people's problems being worked out all day long. Jesus can't work it out. He can't work it out. But if you really want to find out what it's like when God work it out for you, you start, Jesus can't work it out. He can't. Look, the stories are great. Reading books are great. But listen, but if you really want to find out what the king is like, you got to get to the king yourself. Look at somebody and say, we're getting ready to go somewhere. Don't just take somebody else's word about it. You got to get to the king and see it for yourself. Look at somebody and say, Pastor, getting ready to switch the stir. He getting ready to not talk about Solomon anymore. Y'all better stick with me now. But wait a minute. She goes even farther than that. In the last part of verse 6, she says, behold, the one half of thy greatness, of thy wisdom, was not told me. If far thou exceeded the fame that the king had exceeded her expectation with wisdom, with his wonderful acts. Now, you've seen this before, and this is normally the way it happens. Somebody will see something, they experience something, or hear something, and they'll come and tell you about it. Oh, you should go see this movie. Yeah. Or you need to go to this restaurant. It's off the chain, I heard you. Yeah. They come tell you all about it. And by the time they have gotten through telling you about it, your expectations are through the roof. It's so high that when you walk in and see it for yourself, or meet them for yourself, or experience it for yourself, you wonder what was the uproar about. It ain't all that great. The movie wasn't all that good. They need to give me my money back. I'm going to tell them the next time they tell me about a movie, they need to guarantee it. That if I don't like it, they're going to pay me for going. Amen. The food ain't all that great at that restaurant. Somebody, I don't know what they ate, but what I ate wasn't no good. They built it up so high that the reality of it was not what you was looking for. Oh, but church, there is still one thing that will exceed your expectation. Most things in life are let down. But this was not the case for the Queen of Sheba. Because when she experienced the atmosphere and wisdom that surrounded King Solomon, she was literally amazed. She said, "They told me about it, but I never thought it would be this great." In fact, she goes on to say in verse 7, "Happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stands continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." Nearly in a state of harmless envy, she said that it must be such a wonderful place to be just to serve this king and to learn from his wisdom. You must be in a great place. She was envious of him. But I want to show you, church. All this is in the Old Testament. All this about Solomon is in 2 Chronicles. It's Old Testament. We're living under the New Testament. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. So I want to show you a verse that's the heart of the entire message this morning. Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Okay. Y'all ready for this? "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. She's going to rise up with this generation and condemn us, because in her time, she went and heard Solomon. But in our time, we got one greater than Solomon, and we still don't believe. I'm trying to help somebody. She rose up with Solomon, who just had wisdom. We're in a generation where we have somebody greater than Solomon, who has more than wisdom, but have miracles, signs, and wonders. We're among somebody who can change your life. Trying to help somebody. We're among somebody who done did great works in your life, and we still don't believe. Shown favor on your life, and we still don't believe. Brought you out of a horrible pit, and we still don't believe. I don't want to get so deep, but the last part of it is plain to understand. The queen of Sheba had come from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the word, but now a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the greater than Solomon. Not only greater in wisdom, not only in his wonderful acts, but greater in the ways that he can exceed our expectations. I got some good news for somebody today. The great King Solomon exceeded expectations with his wisdom and wonderful acts. But the great King Jesus can exceed your expectations in any area you want to put him in. He's not limited. He can fix any part of your life. He can rearrange any of our circumstances, exceeding all expectation. Listen, church, when you want to really get to where the king is, he will exceed your expectation. He's greater than what great means. He's more wonderful than what wonderful means. You experience peace, but not like this. You've experienced comfort, but not like this. You've experienced joy, but not like this. This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I'm trying to help somebody. Bright Star, I agree with Paul when he said that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You can think all day long, but God can do more than what you thought about for 24 hours. You can think about it all day long, but he can go farther than what you thought. I'm talking about a king that when you really get into his presence, he will exceed your expectations. The power of God is not limited to our human expectation. The power of God is not dependent on what you expect. I wish we can learn it today. I wish we can. Listen, we cannot figure God out. Can I help somebody? God made us. He made the brains that are in our heads. And he did not install the necessary equipment into our brains to completely figure him out. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Somebody should have said, thank you, Jesus. He got a different set of plans. He's working with a different set of regulations. Listen, listen. You can't put God in a box. God is too big for your box. Sometimes we think we've got God figured out, but then he'll change the script. He'll flip it on us, and he'll do it in a different way. I'm trying to help somebody. You thought God was going to come from the left, and he'll come up and sneak up behind you and be like, what the world? Amen. If you read the Gospels in the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus came upon two blind men, and he simply went up and touched them, and they were healed. Amen. Another time, Jesus came upon another blind man, and there is no doubt that they had heard that Jesus could heal the blind simply by touching them. And that's what they expected Jesus to do. But this time, Jesus walked up and spit in the man's face. And spit in his eyes. And then touched him. And he was able to see. Well, that was a little confusing. But now I'm sure they thought they had Jesus figured out. It could happen either two ways if he's healing blind folks. He can simply touch you or spit in your face. And then touch you. But then later on, Jesus came across another fellow who was blind in Jerusalem. And I'm sure all the followers throughout the land knew exactly how Jesus was going to do it. Some of the men's friends had probably talked to him about it. Say, bro, check this out. Don't worry about it. Jesus is going to come. He ain't going to hurt you. He ain't going to harm you. I saw him other times. What he did, he just touched some folk and they was healed. Another time, he might spit in your face. But guess what? You're going to be healed. Hello, hello, hello. He might just come up and touch you. But I'm telling you, it won't hurt you at all. It won't hurt a bit. Ain't that, it's going to be so easy. Ain't nothing to it. But can you imagine the look on their face when Jesus walked up this time and he spit on the ground, made a mud pie, and put it up. Shut up, straight up. Shut up. Made the mud pie. That's a lot of spit. Slapped it on the man's eyes and said, now go wash. Go wash. And then come back and you'll be made whole. Can you imagine the surprise? Huh? I can hear him saying, what the world? That was wild. But my eyes are working fine. I thought he was just going to touch me or spit, but put mud in my face? Guess what? I don't care how you do it, Jesus. You can touch me. You can spit on me. You can put mud in my face. I don't care what you do or how you do, just as long as you do it. I may not expect the way you do it, but just do it however you need to do it. How many of us are willing to just let Jesus do it his way and not our way? Some of us think we got God completely figured out and understood. Hello, 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 and how he worked. Well, this is how he did it then. But how many know God will flip it on you in a minute? Sometimes we expect God to do it this way, but when he shows up, he comes in a completely different way that we did not expect. But let me assure you, church, God's way is always the best way. God's way is the best way. He's been blowing people's minds since the beginning of time, and that's the way he'll probably continue to do it, by blowing our minds. 2018, some of our minds are getting ready to be blown like never before. We thought we had it figured out. We're going to do it just the way we used to do it. We're going to do it the way we did it back in the day. But God said, no, I got a new thing coming. You better get ready for the new. Pitch the old stuff out, because that ain't going to work in today's world. You got to do something new. God's going to meet your expectations. Then he's going to exceed your expectations, doing it in a way that you never thought that it could be done before. He's going to look at somebody and tell you, he's going to blow your mind. But let me tell you this one thing. If you can simply get into the presence of the King, if you can simply get into the presence of the King, but sometimes you got to shake some folk off. Can I help you for a second? I'm going to go home. Let me help you for a second. I ain't going to spit on nobody today, but you might come in here one day, I just start spitting on everybody. Amen. But let me help somebody. Notice when we was reading the scripture, the Bible said she came with a whole host of company with her. But when it came down to meeting with the King, she was by herself. Everybody can't go with you. You can't take everybody where you're going. And when you get into the presence of the King, everybody don't need to be there. I'm trying to help somebody. Because when you start talking to the King about your problem and situation, then they want to end it. Well, girl, you know, you don't need to be talking. No. You need to tell the King the desires of your heart the way you want to tell it. And you don't need other folks trying to tell you how to talk to the King. You need to tell somebody, you need to step back. No, you need to be like Abraham. You need to stay back here with the asses. Because that's the way some of y'all act sometimes. No, y'all should have been at church yesterday. Read your Bible. Read the King James Bible. Abraham said, no, y'all stay here with the asses. Because y'all can't go where we going. Because we going to worship. Some folk act the way they look. Shut up, straight horn. Shut up. And you got to leave some folk where they at. And if they acting like asses, leave them with the asses. Read your King James Version. We got to understand clearly, everybody ain't ready to go where you ready to go. Everybody can't get the blessing you about to get. Everybody ain't going to get the favor on their life like you getting ready to get. Everybody can't receive what God has for you. And what's for you is for you. Everybody can't do what you do. Why? Because they ain't been through what you've been through to get to where you're going to. You got to understand, everybody don't know your story. Everybody don't know your hurt. Everybody don't know your pain. Everybody don't know what God done for you in your life. So sometimes you got to leave them where they are. Too many times, we want to have the pity party. We need to sit and talk about it. We need to analyze it. Listen, Ayanna can't fix your life. Sitting around talking about the same old mess all the time. You got to change that stuff up. Say, God, regulate my mind. Fix my heart. Change my story. You got to get tired of hanging around the same old sick folk, the same old people, doing the same old thing, the same old way. You got to say, God got something new. I done cried long enough. I done weep long enough. I done cried my last tear. I'm tired of crying. When is the joy going to come? When is the happiness going to come? When is God going to take me and exceed me abundantly more than I ever can think or imagine? When is that time going to happen? When is the abundance coming? Because the enemy done stole, he done killed, he You done destroyed a whole bunch of my life. But Jesus, you promised me that you have come, that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Where is my abundance? Where is it, God? Where is it? Oh, I heard you, God. I heard you. I heard you. I got to do some stuff. I got to get rid of some stuff. Because there's some things holding me back from getting the way you want me to get. Get your big scissors out. Start cutting some stuff so you can get free for God. Let me go home. The queen said, I heard about all the great things you were doing, but I didn't believe it. I heard of the ways that you could work out problems for people, but I didn't believe it. I heard how that you had wisdom above all, but I didn't believe it until I came and seen it for myself. Until I came and seen it for myself. Church, the King of Kings would love to take some time with you today. His love will exceed your expectations. His mercy will exceed your expectations. His ability to solve your problem will exceed your expectations. I've never read in the New Testament where Jesus sat around and talked to folk about their problem. He asked them, what do you want? They told him. He healed them. End of story. Wasn't no more talking about how I was blind. Wasn't no more talking about how I was lame. Wasn't no more talking about how I sat at the pool of Bethesda. But no, when he got up, he got up. When he was healed, he was healed. And they went around talking about the goodness of Jesus on their life. Come on. Come on. If you open up to him today, he'll transform your troubles. His wisdom will exceed your expectation. And he will bring peace that surpasses all understanding. 2018 is the year of expectation. I expect greater things in 2018. Give the Lord a praise.